Now give me the God of Robert, and I'll blow it wherever I can. Then I'll take it home to Jesus over in the promised land. For I'm gonna die on this battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Now, soldier, take up your armor, stretch forth the sword of God. Then shout the victory in Jesus as onward to heaven we trot. For I'm gonna die on this battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on this battlefield with glory in my soul.
Good morning and welcome to Bible Believers Broadcast. This is Brother Tommy Heffner, and this program is sponsored by Bible Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast this morning. And I've got a message here that's a little controversial, but I'm sure you'll see the truth of it if you believe anything about what's going on in this country now. Before we get started, I'd like to tell you about our church over there in Springwood. You come visit any time. It's right in front of the Springwood Church of God. And you turn on Kirkley Street, go all the way to the end of the street, and then back to the right. And you'll see the church out there, a little small three-room house. But we're having some good teaching and preaching there, you know. If you'd like to come visit us, just give me a call, 704-263-1611. All right. In the Bible, when I say Bible, I'm talking about the authorized King James 1611 Bible. It says in Titus 1:6, talking about a preacher or a bishop or an elder or anybody really that's doing anything for the Lord ought to go by these rules and regulations. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. That for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And gainsayers is people that's trying to do something to get ahead of everybody else. Now, this message this morning is about, since all this stuff has been going on about so-called Martin Luther King Jr. and the birthday this week, I thought I'd bring a message about the great Martin Luther King. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, I got the job of putting out the truth about everything that's contrary to this Bible. The Bible says, preach the word. And I have God's word in my hand to preach. And the verses I just read at the beginning tell you how a Christian and a preacher is supposed to live and supposed to act as far as the word of God. If he's any kind of a preacher at all, that's what he's supposed to go by. And in preaching the word of God, I'm supposed to put out the truth every way I can. Expose sin, expose fraud, hypocritical preachers, so people won't be deceived. So in view of that fact, that's the reason I call this message the great Martin Luther King Jr. Now I call it that because he's a great liar, one of the greatest adulterers in this country, a great troublemaker, a great socialist, the greatest puppet, pawn, or patsy the communist ever produced. Not only was he all of the above, but he finished what Abraham Lincoln started in the 1860s by overthrowing the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. You know what that is? That's states' rights. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 gave complete federal control and intervention into any of the 50 states. So they come in there and tell you what to do, and what I can do, and what I can't do, through the federal government. We got a federal dictatorship now. And Martin Luther King was the biggest reason it was passed into law. Now, Martin Luther King was born Michael, but he had his name changed to Martin by his father so that the world would think that he was a biblical reformer. By the way, his name was never changed legally. King's birth certificate said Michael, so his real name was Michael Luther King, Jr. So we'll refer to him by his real name in this message. You know, aliases are the properties of two classes of people, gangsters and popes. All gangsters use aliases, and every pope in the Roman Catholic Church has always changed their name to something else. For example, Pope John Paul II's real name is Karol Wojtyla, whatever that Polish name is. But anyway, that's his real name. Now, every January, the news media has what I call an orgy, pumping up King's image and making him a great man. And the national holiday he's got, you know, in his honor is something that no other American has. Not Washington, not Jefferson, not Lincoln. You know, Washington and Lincoln no longer have holidays. They share a holiday called President's Day. I tell you something else about this man. A liberal circuit court judge sealed 14 file cabinets full of FBI files on King until the year 2027. Now, why would they do that? What are they hiding? I mean, shouldn't we know everything possible about someone that has a national holiday? Somebody supposed to be a great man? You sure got all the information on every conservative candidate for the Supreme Court, including the videotapes that Judge Thomas rented. Why didn't we get something on Martin Luther King? The man most responsible for the FBI's probe of King was Assistant Director William C. Sullivan. Sullivan described himself as a liberal and said that initially I was 100% for King. Said because I saw him as an effective and badly needed leader for the black people in their desire for civil rights. This probe of King not only confirmed their suspicions about King's communist beliefs and associations, but it also revealed King to be a despicable hypocrite, immoral degenerate, and a worthless charlatan. That's what Sullivan said after he was seen that he was fooled by the media's greatness of the way the media portrayed King. All right, FBI Assistant Director Sullivan also had access to the surveillance files on King. Said this: he had embezzled or misapplied substantial amounts of money contributed to the civil rights movement. King used SCLC funds to pay for liquor and numerous prostitutes, both black and white, who were brought to his hotel rooms, often two at a time, for drunken sex parties, which sometimes last for several days. You remember what I just read about what a preacher's supposed to be? Husband of one wife, sober, just, holy, temperate, something different here. Sullivan also said that was normal for King's speaking and organizing tours. You notice that, you know why they knew all that? Because they bugged his rooms. They knew what he was doing. The reason they bugged his rooms was because of the associations he had was in the communist all kind of communist people, and we get to that in just a minute. But he also said, Sullivan also said that it's been documented that at the Lorraine Motel where Kenny stayed the night before he was shot, that he spent his last night having sex with two women at the motel and physically beating and abusing a third. You know what the Bible said there? Not a striker. Especially a woman. And you folks out there are celebrating, black or white, you celebrating this man's birthday? What's the matter with you people? Alright, Sullivan also said that King had fornicated with several married women too. Here's another adulterer too. Now all that's in them 14 file cabinets that you can't see, or I can't see, until the year 2027. And this is a gospel preacher? A reverend? He was a whoremonger and a thief. Now what do you think, where do you think Martin Luther King is right now? Think about that a minute. You think he's a good Christian preacher? Do you believe he's in hell right now burning? You know what the Bible says? In Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, let's look at a few things that he really believed. I mean, do you think he's in hell right now? Just think about it a minute, do you? Well, let's just go on and see what else. If you're still trying to justify him, let's just go on and see a few more things that he's connected with. This following material here is edited from the National Alliance. If you want to go to the website, it's www.natvan.com. So, this is documented stuff is what they had. Matter of fact, several books is out. You can get the books and read them. On Labor Day, 1957, a special meeting was attended by Michael Luther King, four others at a strange institution called the Highlander Folk School in Monteagle, Tennessee. Now that Highlander Folk School was a communist front. And it was founded by Miles Horton. He's a Communist Party organizer for Tennessee. Don West was involved in it. He's a Communist Party organizer for North Carolina. Both those men was at this meeting. And the leaders of this meeting with King, he was there, was Horton West, along with Abner Berry and James Dombrowski, all open and acknowledged members of the Communist Party. The agenda of the meeting was to plan to tour southern states to initiate demonstrations and riots. Listen, folks, I'm telling you what this is truth. You ain't going to get this on the news media. They ain't going to put nothing out. If you want any truth, turn your TV off. That's the thing to do. From 1955 to 1960, Martin Luther King's associate advisor and personal secretary was Baynard Rustin. In 1936, Rustin joined the Young Communist League of New York City College. He was convicted of draft dodging. He went to prison for 2 years in 1944. And on January 23, 1953, the Los Angeles Times reported his conviction and sentencing to jail for 60 days for lewd vagrancy and homosexual perversion. Rustin attended the 16th convention of the Communist Party, USA, in February 1957. 1 month later, you listen to me? 1 month later, he and King founded the Southern Christian Leadership Congress, or SCLC. Of course, the president of SCLC was Dr. Michael Luther King, Jr. The vice president was the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, who was also the president of an identified communist front known as the Southern Conference Educational Fund. an organization whose field director was Mr. Carl Braden. And he was simultaneously national sponsor of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. Now, this program director was also, another program director was also Reverend Andrew Young. You heard of him, hadn't you? He was Jimmy Carter's ambassador to the UN and mayor of Atlanta. By the way, Young was trained at the Communist Highlander Folk School that I recently mentioned. All right, next thing. Soon after returning from a trip to Moscow in 1958, Rustin at Baynard, Rustin organized the first of King's marches on Washington. The official paper of the Communist Party at that time was called The Worker, and it openly declared that that march was a communist project. Now think about this. These people are atheists, communists, and connected with a man whose national holiday you're celebrating. This man, King, was a treason. Ought to be tried for treason instead of shot in the head. You know who the only one that didn't vote for King's national holiday? The only senator was Jesse Hams. That's one senator out of 100 senators that people have voted in. Well, I wonder if we already a communist nation. Okay, here's some more. This Baynard Rustin left King's employment as secretary in 1961, but he was called back to be second in command of a larger march in Washington, which took place in August 28, 1964. Rustin's replacement in 61 as secretary and advisor to King was Jack O'Dell, also known as Hunter Pitts O'Dell. According to official records, in 1962, Jack O'Dell was a member of the National Committee of the Communist Party USA. He had been listed as a communist member as early as 1956. Listen, folks, I'm telling you this stuff, this man was connected to all these communists. Birds of a feather flock together. And you people, black or white, I'm no white racist. I'm just telling you what the facts are. I'm an American. You ought to be an American too. All right. At that time, you know, some of the press wasn't quite as liberal as it is now, and they said something about O'Dell being a communist, so King fired him. Whenever he fired him, what did he do? Right after that, he fired him with a, you know, big deal, you know, so everybody hear about it. And then right after that, he hired him again as director of a New York office of the SCLC. In 1963, a black man from Monroe, North Carolina, named Robert Williams, made a trip to Peking, China, exactly 20 days before King's 1964 march on Washington. And Williams successfully urged Mao Zedong, who was a communist, killed millions of his own people over in China, urged him to speak out on behalf of King's movement. Mr. Williams also, around this time, maintaining his primary residence in Cuba, where he made regular broadcasts to the U.S. three times a week from a high-power AM transmitter in Havana entitled Radio Free Dixie. And in these broadcasts, he urged violent attacks against by blacks against white Americans. That man is connected with Dr. Martin Luther King. And you're celebrating his holiday. According to King's biographer, and he was a sympathizer, by the way, with King, his name was David J. Garrow, King privately described himself as a Marxist. He was a communist, and a whoremonger, and a crook, and a liar. Okay, Jewish communist, there's another one, Stanley Livingston, He can be best described as King's behind-the-scenes handler. In other words, he was a man behind him that gave him all kind of advice and took care of him all those years. And he'd been in charge of secret funneling of Soviet funds into the Communist Party and was King's main man, so to speak. And is actually the brains behind many of King's different ploys, you know, that he used to get money and so forth. Matter of fact, Levinson edited King's book, Stride Toward Freedom. A communist now. He also arranged for a publisher. He even prepared his income tax returns. What's this man doing with all this company of all these communists? And why are we celebrating his holiday? Alright, Federal Bureau of Investigation had for many years been aware of Levinson's communist activities. And matter of fact, it was his close association with King that brought about the initial FBI interest in King. Now, Sullivan also relates an incident in which King met in a financial conference with Communist Party representatives, not knowing that one of the participants was an infiltrator actually working for the FBI. So J. Edgar Hoover personally saw to it that the documented information on King's communist connection was provided to the President and the Congress. What'd they do about it? Not one thing. Why not? Somebody's behind our government telling them what they can do and what they can't do. What's going on here? Do you know? I don't know. I know what's behind the whole thing. Alright. Enough of this mess. Now, what's the purpose for all this material I just gave you? Well, the logical end, of course, is the devil's motive behind everything that's going on today. He's the god of this world. You know that, don't you? He's the god of this world. Here's the end. His reason for doing everything he does is set up a one-world government of integrated people without race distinction under the UN, controlled by him, controlled by the devil. Same thing he done back there in Genesis with Tower of Babel, trying to get everybody together. And God went down and separated everybody. See? I tell you, folks, things is really speeding up. The Lord's coming back soon. They soon are going to be complete gun control. And when you get that, you're going to be complete people control. Because you're going to have no way to fight back. There's coming a time on this earth of great tribulation. The Bible says such as was not since the world began. I hope you're not caught here when that happens. Lord's coming back. Get his saints, though, before that. Don't be left here. Don't be left here. You better get saved as quick as you can. The only way to escape the wrath that's coming is biblical salvation. Are you saved? Let me ask you, when were you saved? Where were you saved? How do you know you saved? Now, I'm not talking about sharing anything with anybody. I'm telling you that if you've never seen yourself a lost sinner and come to the Lord Jesus Christ to get your sins forgiven, completely trusting on the merits of the blood He shed for you, then you're not saved. Your sacraments, confirmation, good works, baptism, religion will not save you. Excuse me. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, put your name right there where it says thou. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, not in your head. Everybody knows he died and buried and rose again the third day. That's a historical fact. Whether you believe it or not, it's still a historical fact. But that don't mean you're saved. It says that thou shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, see, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. Now, here's what you do. You know you're a sinner. You know you can't save yourself. You know your sacraments and your religion and your good works are not going to help you in anything. You see yourself a sinner and look to Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Call on His name. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask Him. Ask Him to be saved. If you did that, then the Bible says, how shall they call on Him that who in whom they not believe? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing me, Lord, to preach this message. Lord, I pray, Father, that You would bless it. I pray that Your word would return void, but establish that which You please. I pray, Heavenly Father, not one person listen to this message here will go to hell. I pray that You deal with each one of them, Lord. Anybody that's not saved, I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray they be saved before it's too late. And I thank You for what You're going to do, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a story so kind in the Holy Book Divine, and it tells that Jesus stood alone one day, false accused and condemned, yet they found a fault with Him. Blood-stained red, his rain.